You're listening to the Guardian Gamer podcast. Guardian Gamer is a new service that offers kids the age of 7 and up mentorship and a safe space to play video games. I'm Sarah Lee Sterland. I co-host this podcast. We've talked a lot about what happens within online video games in past episodes, but how does video game culture affect kids and families in the quote-unquote offline world? That's what we explore in this episode. I'm talking with Laurie this week. She's the mother of a 7th grade boy who loves playing Fortnite and Minecraft. Video games were affecting Laurie's son starting around 5th grade, even when he wasn't playing them. As you'll hear, Laurie didn't allow her son to play Fortnite. He complained that he felt left out at school because Fortnite was all his buddies kept talking about. So Laurie relented. Then the pandemic hit. As for many of us, games became the safe place for her son to carry on his social life. As parents, we all worry about the impact of video games on our kids. I'm sure many of us wonder how other people manage their kids' gaming habits. That's why we thought it'd be great to kick off a conversation about the subject with Laurie. In addition to being the parent of a son who has an avid interest in video games, she also beta tested the Guardian Gamer service earlier this year. So, Laurie, tell our listeners a bit about yourself.
So, I have a 7th grader, and I met Heidi, our boys played baseball together, and then they just kind of kept in touch. And a lot of that was gaming last year during quarantine. And, you know, I'm not into gaming at all as a parent. I know some parents do game with their kids. I'm not a gamer, and I kind of don't even really, or I didn't really know what the kids were doing, but I always kind of kept an eye on my son, and I'd ask him a lot of questions once he got off games and stuff. We did have a rule of no playing with strangers, so there was no sort of group gaming unless you knew the people. And sometimes the kids would bring in other people they knew that maybe my son didn't know, and I was always kind of weary about it, but I'd ask a lot of questions. You know, who was on it? Were they someone your same age? Those kinds of things. And then as the year progressed, he was getting more and more into it, and he was trying to do some streaming, and that kind of worried me because I thought, yeah, you know, I don't want his face, you know, on YouTube and all these things, but I realized I used to make him wear sunglasses and a hat. and it was kind of fun for him in a way because he had this sort of alter ego that he was playing online. So when the Guardian Gamer stuff came about, it was really interesting to me because obviously I'm interested in my son being safe online. And I think you can tell kids consistently through school, parents, you know, peers, you know, you need to do these things to be safe online. But I just believe that they are also young and they want to have fun and they don't always foresee the consequence later. And so by giving out details or playing with someone random can be dangerous. And so I worry about that. So I just found that Guardian Gamer allowed me insight into exactly what he was doing. Sort of the first version of what was tested was more just him playing with a Guardian Gamer.
Okay, so what kinds of games does he like to play?
Well, Minecraft was very early on when he was younger, and then that kind of lost steam, and then he picked up Fortnite, which the first year Fortnite came out, I was like, no, you're not going to do that. And then he talked about, you know, different friends. He started having different friends at school. And I said, well, what happened to so-and-so? And he'd say, oh, all they do is talk about Fortnite. And I don't even know what they're talking about. So at that point, I kind of thought, ugh, you know, I just took him out of a social situation where kids relate. And now he is like on the outside of that because he doesn't know about it. And I wasn't super concerned. I just, it kind of crossed my mind.
What grade was that?
I want to say 5th grade. It might have been 4th, but around 5th grade, it got really popular. And then sometimes he would say, oh, it's kind of dumb. I don't even care, you know, whatever. And then I think it was last year is when I let him first start playing Fortnite. And he actually, we put it on the TV. So it was on the big screen. And he's like, Mom, I want to show you this and I want to show you that. And to be honest, I really wasn't interested. But then once I saw it in the graphics, I'm like, wow, this is nothing like the games we used to play.
Yeah. Well, that's a really good idea to have your kid play it on the TV.
Yeah, because you really get to see what they're doing. Now it's in his room, which is a little, you know, I wasn't sure about it. But I am able to go in anytime. Obviously, we do some privacy things, like I have to knock. But I think the biggest part he doesn't want me to see is it's not see, it's the hearing, the way the boys talk. Because I think he probably knows it's disrespectful to me. So I notice what he does when I knock, because he's like, okay, don't say anything, my mom's coming in. So I think it's just kind of funny. I was in technology for probably 15, 18 years. So I understand that part. But the gaming, I never really got into. We did arcades when I was younger, like high school. And of course, we had the old Atari and stuff and like the handhelds. But this is a whole new level. And it's actually exciting when I look at it because I'm interested in technology. I don't look at it as a bad thing. I think the kids can actually learn stuff from it. Like I notice, before my son even tried to talk me into it, I noticed the strategies that they use. And there's some things that are not as positive to me, like the reward system and points and levels and stuff like that. Because my son recently compared it to grades at school. Like, you go to school and you do all these things, but your reward isn't till like way later when you get your diploma. Not like I'm saying that's bad. I'm just saying when you're gaming, you get it right away. So it's sort of an instant gratification.
What did you say to that?
Well, I was shocked at first. I was kind of like, okay, that was a really interesting perspective. And that's usually code word for me. I need to go back and think about this to see how to respond, because I was like, okay, that's real. So I
know. It's the equivalent of, you've given me a lot to think about.
Well, the problem is I never know if he's trying to outsmart me or if he's really feeling this way. So I decided to, you know, kind of step back and not say too much. And then later I come back in and ask. And he did give me more of an explanation. And then I gave him my perspective. Because I think sometimes.
So what is your perspective? What did you say?
Well, I think they're two totally different things, you know.
I'm just asking on behalf of parents who might be listening to this.
Well, I think that for me, I love that he gets the socialization and some of the positive things from gaming. But school's a different story. And then it made me actually challenge myself, my own thinking, saying, well, actually, he has a good point, because we go through this whole school system of stuff just to have a basis to get into college, to go to more school, to get a degree than to get a job, when in reality, they could be learning better things in school to allow them to go off on their own. And some of these kids might have great ideas, but they get squashed because they have to fit into this mold of school. And I wasn't thinking that before.
How did you phrase it?
Well, I basically told him, you know, school is set up the way it is. It's probably not going to change anytime soon. And grades are super important once you get to high school. And so if you want the freedom, you want to get your education and you want the freedom to have a great job based on your education, then you need to do what you have to do. Those are the rules. That's the game. You got to play it. Everyone's doing it. You got to do it. It doesn't mean that you can't go outside of that and create something else for yourself. And then that's when I mentioned a lot of these kids that are creating their own companies on the side that get them through college, that, you know, so keep your passions, but follow the game.
You can even create your own company in Minecraft or Roblox.
Right. I didn't know that.
How did the pandemic change Adrian and your family's relationship to video games?
So I would say that the interest has increased as he's gotten older. I know in the fifth grade, that's when the pandemic started. So it was the end of the fifth grade and beginning of his sixth grade. And he still had, everything went online, right? So he signed up for all kinds of activities. So he was doing, you know, library online, where the librarian would get on and they'd read a story and then they'd talk about the author and the story and stuff. He was taking Spanish online and also doing school. But in fifth grade, there wasn't a lot. And when sixth grade came around, and he still wasn't gaming a lot, he was kind of here and there. And then once sixth grade started, you know, there, in my household with my son, I'm a single mom. And I also work from home, and then I have a business aside from that. So I'm super busy. I was lucky with my son in that he was very independent and he's very organized. And he got himself set up with a schedule. I didn't even know the schedule. So he knew how to get himself online. He was in class. And to be honest, I think he did pretty well with distance learning. There were times he didn't turn stuff in and I would check and ask him what's up, you know, but overall I was really happy with what he did. And I guess there were discussions between him and I where I just said, school is priority. You need to manage your schedule. And if you need help, you ask for it. But I didn't put a lot of limits on the gaming because I felt like they had a lot of pressure already as it was. And they're really, his activities stopped. So he had, you know, tennis and taekwondo, which he goes 4 to 5 times a week between the two. And they just didn't have them. They couldn't even go outside and do the tennis classes. So it was really difficult. So I just thought, you know, this is his only way to socialize with his friends. So I went ahead and just allowed it. With that, I did tell him, if I see for some reason you're overdoing it, or if I see your grades, you know, start dropping, or you're not doing your homework, then I will make adjustments to what you're doing with your gaming. And he understood that. So it was pretty good. You get tired of just sitting in the same house with your mom. So I get it. And then I feel guilty because I'm working all the time. So we made time. He had to go out and exercise every day. So we had to go for a walk together or bike ride or something. And it worked out okay.
Does he try to talk to you about the gaming?
He actually tried to get me to do it. So he's had me play Minecraft. I'm not great at it. And I'm not fun for him to play with at some point because I'm not very good at it. I think I even tried Fortnite, but I was like, how do you, you know, I just couldn't get the hand-eye coordination or brain coordination, whatever that was. He does talk to me a lot about it, and sometimes it's too much. And I let him talk and talk and talk, and then I go, okay, can we talk about something different? How was school? How was this? It's not that I don't want to hear it. It's that I want to change the subject because you're telling me a lot. It's like information overload. So I think it helped him to try the streaming because he had a way to get it out and talk about it. I said, pretend like you're teaching somebody, you know, and somebody watches your video, you're explaining and describing, you know, what you're doing. And not only with the streaming did he learn to do that, but he learned the technology in the background. So what he needed to do, like with the capture card and his switch to audio to all of that, I thought was really beneficial.
So he actually took your suggestion and started explaining various moves in games and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and a lot of it was very light, you know, like, oh, I'm going to do this now. And so I didn't, you know, it's really kind of funny when you look back at the videos. So I wouldn't say it was like his end product. It was the very beginning of
you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, totally. And he had no shame. He just put it up there and he'd send it out to all his friends. Check out my video.
So was that on Twitch or YouTube?
Yeah, he had a Twitch account. He started with YouTube and then later got a Twitch account.
Okay, so I assume he uses a pseudonym and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, he has a different, he doesn't use his full name. And I even told him, when you're gaming with your friends, don't use their names either. You got to be careful, like use your, you know, other names. And he doesn't do it anymore. He had a moment. And then he's like, okay, I'm done. That's not fun anymore.
Okay. So you were telling me about being the guinea pig in Guardian Gamer. Yeah. Tell me a bit about any thoughts on Audrey on using it. What did he say? What's your opinion of it?
He just said, yeah, it was fun. You know, nothing's ever really a big deal for him. So he's just like, yeah, you know, it was fun to play with him. And I actually taught him some things too. So it's kind of funny. But I think as a parent, for me, it was really beneficial to get the feedback from the guardian, because then I could understand what it was like to play with him. And I think the two of them kind of hit it off personality-wise. And so that was really nice for them to connect.
Well, you must have liked it, because I heard the other day that with Alex Cridlick, one of the guardians, they built the Monterey Bay Aquarium together.
Yeah. He likes to create stuff. So it's like that part of it is fun for him. He switches back and forth between, because I always used to say, you know what, spend more time on something that you really enjoy that could later on be something that you end up doing. Like, do that. And if you're going to be on electronics, this was my original thing I said before all the gaming, was try to learn something, you know? So he picked up Photoshop last year, and he went through the tutorials, and he started doing all this stuff. And now I know nothing about Photoshop, and he's like modifying everything. Like, he does all this stuff. And
I might have to hire him.
Really interesting to him. And I said, keep doing something like that, and you could do projects on the side and get paid. And he would always come back and say, well, you never know, I could work for a gaming company.
It's so cool. I'm an only child, and I used to spend a lot of time on my own learning photography. I mean, it sounds like Adrian doing Photoshop.
Yeah, he loves it. He still does it. And his friends will ask him, like, I know his cousin said, hey, can you make my profile pic? And this is how I want it. And just design it and do it or whatever.
So do you guys go to the Monterey Bay Aquarium a lot? Is he into sea life and oceans?
He's a water kid, definitely. He started surfing this year. So he likes the beach. I think he really just enjoys creating anything visual.
That's cool. So is there anything specific about the reports that you might be able to share with parents?
I think the structure of the report was good, because there were things that, you know, talk about your own child that you don't always see as a parent, but like maybe something that they taught them, which that came up in the report, which was nice. And then the other part was kind of how they interact. Are they respectful? Are they, you know, more behavioral? And so that was really important to me. And the rest of it, you know, I think it was just fun for him. And that first version was really, you know, what my comment was and feedback was, I think it would be more beneficial with more kids in the same room with a guardian, because that would give you a more real life situation. My son knew this guy was a guardian, so he was going to be on his best behavior. So I think it's nice to, you know, and I don't know, maybe it's a little bit spying on the kids, but they're aware your parents can come in and out. So it's not like it's deceiving anybody. It's more about being really aware of what your child's doing. So I think it's okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like having a mind or a babysitter or something like that.
And you learn about your child. I think learning about them is more than you would just being a parent.
Yeah.
You learn about them outside of the parenting role.
You know, one of the things I always worry about, and I'm sure, you know, any parent, even of a boy, might worry, I'm always worried about your kid being groomed online by some rando. Have you had a talk with Adrian about, you know, being on the lookout?
Yeah, we've always talked about it and being safe, whether online or in person, just out with friends or at other people's homes. I think the one thing that I didn't realize, I kind of mentioned this early on, is we can all talk about it and we can all tell them what the right things are to do, but they need to be in the real situation and practice what they've learned, right? So I didn't realize how bad it was online. I actually didn't. I thought it was, you know, you could just kick somebody out of the room or whatever. But he's told me a couple of instances. And then he's also told me what he did. And I said, well, that's great. That's perfect. The exact situation. And you did the right thing. So keep doing that thing. And when you don't know what to do, and when it continues to happen, you need to tell somebody.
You mean like what, someone asking him for information or?
No, it was more like a not a bully situation, but someone always, like, anytime he's in the room, telling him how horrible he is and you suck and, you know, like it's not great.
So how did he respond?
He just said, he's just one of those guys, Mom, you just get rid of him or I just log off.
Yeah, that's good.
Because those kinds of comments can really, like, tear down a kid, you know, that doesn't have the confidence. And that's what I worry about, you know, because I know that the kids get very serious about the gaming and get very competitive. And all you need is that person to come out and make you feel worse and embarrass you in front of everyone. So it's very much a similar bullying situation like at school.
Right,
but
yeah.
But it's online.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and anonymous.
Yes.
Yeah, so scary.
Yeah. So, Laurie, school's back on in person. What are your rules around gaming this year?
I did put a limit for 2 hours a day. And my son did ask me, does that include weekends? I said yes, but we'll talk about it. I don't want him online constantly. And so he has options, so he can manage himself and, you know, don't go over the 2 hours and off by 8:30. And he's been doing pretty good. I think he realizes, and, you know, I've never really taken stuff away from him, but I think he knows that if, you know, he's not following it, you know, I give a warning and then that doesn't happen. The next thing, you know, we're going to switch things up and we're not going to have any electronics for a while. So I think he understands that because he's seen his friends get things taken away.
You've been a great interview. Thank you so much.
You're
for
welcome.
making the time. That was a recent conversation I had with Laurie, the mother of a seventh grade son here in Los Gatos. I'm sure that many of you listening face similar issues as Laurie. You're probably worried about your kids and who they're meeting online. You're probably worried about how they're being treated and how they're treating others. And like me, you're probably worried about what kind of digital footprint they're leaving online. The problem, as I see it, is that some kids often don't seem to distinguish between the online and offline world as much as us oldies. As you heard, Laurie had to explain to her son why he couldn't hold the same expectations about the rewards from working hard at school to working hard to level up in a game. That's just one example. So it's important in my mind that children remember what the differences and similarities are between the two worlds and how to maintain healthy habits and expectations. Guardian Gamer is here to help make sure your kids can practice making these healthy and safe decisions. And as you also heard, the company's guardians can also work with your kids to explore their offline interests in online spaces such as Minecraft. Find out more and book your session today at guardiangamer.com.